Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Brent Galloway. I'm currently a member that goes to First Family Church here. Been going here for over 4 years and whatnot. Been enjoying the preaching, been enjoying the fellowship, and I hope you guys are blessed by my message for today. I'm going to be reading out of John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It says here, "On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says to you, do it.' Now there were 6 water pots of stones, according to the manner of purifications of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take to the master of the feast.' And so they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made into wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, 'Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and then when the guests have well drunk, then they serve the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now.'" So for a lot of us, we have Jesus Christ and his people, along with his mother, Mary, who's with them at a wedding. And during this wedding, they run out of wine, which, you know, for some of our weddings, obviously, it's like, that's a pretty big deal. You know, if you don't got no wine, then where's the fun going to be at? And of course, we notice the first thing to take note of is that Jesus' mother, Mary, asks him to fix this problem. But for a lot of us, we kind of forget to remember that when Mary is talking to Jesus, that she's not just communicating to Jesus as a person, she's also communicating to Jesus as God. So really, in a sense, she's praying to God. And a lot of us may be familiar with prayer, right? Where we ask God to provide us food. That's why we have the food pantry, to provide us safe travels and mercies, and even to bless our kids and children, to keep them safe and to know him, right? And so Mary makes a request to Jesus, asking him of her problems. Why doesn't she just go to fix it herself, huh? Obviously, what do they need? They need wine. Their party ran out of wine. And I'm sure there's a lot of places selling wine. So why not just go and just get her friends and say, "Hey, guys, they ran out of wine. Let's just go and pick up some." Well, I would say one reason is because it's always the right thing to do to ask Jesus for help first. We ought to seek God for our help first. But a lot of us, including myself, would have a tendency to not seek the Lord's help when we also fall into troubles and hard times, but we decide to try to fix it ourselves. And I don't know about you guys, but how many times when we decide to do it our own way rather than the Lord's way, that usually doesn't end out working out too well, huh? I know it happens all too many times, right? Especially in my marriage with my wife, again, little arguments and scuffles. And I'm like, yeah, I know I should just, you know, apologize and reconcile, but no, it's okay. She deserves it. And then later on, the Lord brings conviction to my heart and shows me, you just made it worse and you should go reconcile with your wife. And so following the Lord's direction, and especially seeking for his help, even when we don't think we need it, is always critical. And that's exactly what we see here with Mary doing, asking Jesus for help. Now notice, Mary asked Jesus for what? That they need more wine. But I want this question, this answer that you're going to be having, to resonate in your minds. Does Jesus give her what she's asking for at the end of the day? We'll get to that later. But just keep that in mind. Does Jesus actually give her what she's looking for? But how does Jesus respond? He says, well, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Essentially saying, that's not our problem. They ran out of wine for their party. That is not our problem or concern. But yet, Mary responds and says to the servants, do whatever he asks you. Some of us may be wondering, wait, But he just said that is not his problem, and yet you want the servants to follow whatever he asked to be done? Because again, some of us, when we get told no, especially from God, we tend to get very discouraged. But just like a child with their parents, the child may ask for a lot of things, right? But some of those things are not really the most beneficial for them to be able to have. And so what do the parents say? No. But do they say no because they want their child to be miserable? No. They do it because they're looking out for the child's long-term well-being. And that's what we see here with Jesus, how he responds, that his time has not yet come. And what was that time? It was to do a greater thing than finding mere wine for a party. It is to be able to bring salvation to those who cannot by their own works obtain peace with God. That's why Jesus really ultimately came. That's his purpose for ultimately being here, is to bring salvation to the lost, right? But nevertheless, Jesus, what does he say? He says to the servants, go ahead and gather some water. But before we get there, notice the setup though. There is a total of 6 jars. But in these jars, they could each store up to at least 20 gallons to at most 30 gallons. I know a lot of us have been to the grocery store and a lot of us know what a gallon of milk looks like, right? These jars themselves could take to 20 of those gallons of milk, at least to as most as 30, right? And there's 6 of them, which means what? These jars, all together, for them all to get filled up, could take at least 120 gallons to fill up to at most 180 gallons to fill up. And what does Jesus tell them to do? He tells them, fill the water pots with water and fill them up to the brim. That is, to the very tippity top of the jars themselves. So Jesus asked the servants to go get water. But again, what's the problem? What do they need? Do they need more water for the party? No, they need wine. Now, how does that make any sense? If you need water, if you tell them to get water, but you are told that you need wine, but you're told to get water, it's like, what? That doesn't make any sense, any logical sense. But again, the servants do as Jesus instructs them to do, right? And sometimes for our walk, we often get into many situations and problems where the Lord instructs us to do it a certain way. And we're like, that logically makes no sense, Lord. I don't think that's really the right way to go. I think we should go a different way, right? But again, let's see how that works out for these servants here. Now, mind you, this is about 2,000 years ago. They did not have a nice irrigation system. Like, we have a kitchen here at the First Family. If you need to fill up some pitchers, some gallons of water, all you do is just put the pitcher there, turn the water on, and just sit there and wait. They didn't have that back then. Where they got their water from was from wells. So they're in where the party was. That means these people had to get buckets, walk to the well, pour out some water in the buckets, bring it back, and dump them into these pots. And so even if you have 6 men doing this job, it's going to take you a while. That's a lot of labor to fill these pots with water, at least 120 gallons, right? But then we come to the next part, that once they finally finish this task after a lot of labor, and I'm telling you, these servants probably thinking, man, I don't know why we're getting water. The party is still going on and they need wine. Could have went to the store the entire time. Just picked up some wine and fixed it. Easy fix. But no, they just filled it all up. Filled them all up to the brim. So Jesus tells one of the servants to now take a scoop of that water that's in the pots and take it to the master of ceremonies. And we'll call him Fred. So Fred is instructed to take the spoon to the master of ceremonies for him to be able to taste. Now, mind you, there's still water. Fred sees his water in the jars, right? He scoops it up and it's still water. And then he's going to take it to the master of ceremonies. As he's walking it over, he's looking at his spoon and it's still water. It's like, man, we got a problem. Whatever. I won't do it. And he gives it to the master of ceremonies. And when he does, what do you think is going through his mind? Well, I'm going to be in trouble. This guy needs wine and I just gave him some water. It's all bad. And yet, what does the master of ceremonies respondent say? My goodness, this is some great wine. some great wine. Now, mind you, he tells and says that at the ceremonies, in this case a wedding, they serve the best wine first, and then when the best wine is gone, then they serve the lesser wine. And for those of us who know our wine, does a wine grow better in quality the longer it sits in its bottle, or worse? Better, right? So when they serve the best wine first, that means these must have been wines that have been sitting in the bottle, sitting in their, you know, sackcloths for good amount of while, years even. Ooh, that's a good quality wine, right? And so when they drank this wine that was turned into water, done none by the servant, not by Mary, but by Jesus Christ himself, he turned that water into wine. He didn't just say, this is some decent wine. He said, this is the best wine that should have been served first. That means the wine Jesus produced was far greater than even the best that man could even offer. And so, of course, the master ceremonies didn't know where this wine came from. He thought they just had it in a secret storage space. But the servants knew. But yet, the key text here is that it said, this being the beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, it manifested his glory and the disciples believed in him. That's a key part right here. When Jesus turned the water into wine, for those who knew that he turned the water into wine, he didn't just do it just to flex. He didn't do it saying, hey, let me show you a magic trick. I could do this really cool trick. Let me show you something real quick. No, it says that he did this to show his glory. What is that all about? It's showing that the fact that he turned this wine into the best wine that man ever knew points to a greater reality, that Jesus Christ himself is a greater item, a greater gift, a greater blessing than anything that you've ever experienced from your friends, from your families, from your bosses, or for even the world could offer. What the world offers us all is average wine. But what Jesus offers is the best of wines. But yet I say, for a lot of us in this room, we're content with drinking just average wine. That, you know, it's okay. Temporary, you know, has decent effects. But we don't seek after the greater wine that only Christ himself can provide. For a lot of us know, junk food, right? Tastes amazing. But not the most healthy, right? Could bring things like diabetes, right? Which is not the business to have. But then we have healthy foods, which is good for your health, but doesn't taste the best generally, right? So it is with Christ. With what he offers us is the greatest thing for us to be able to have, but it comes at a cost. You're not going to be living your best life now if you give your life genuinely to Christ. You will have troubles. You will have trials and struggles. But you see here what Jesus is going to give you through giving your life as a sacrifice to him by forsaking your sins is a greater thing than you could ever even ask or even dream of. But yet, if you stay content in your sins, whatever they may be, Lord knows, Lord is bringing conviction on your hearts today, yesterday, last year, and you know what the Lord calls you to do. You know he calls you to live a holy life. If you're content with living in your sins, then you're content person living with junk food who may someday have a heart attack, clotted arteries. But the thing is, though, is that he doesn't know when he's going to get clotted arteries by living this lifestyle. And so neither of us know when we live our lives in sin when the Lord is going to call us into judgment. And this place, hell, has no probation or parole. It is a life sentence. So, as I urge you all for today, seek the greater wine that only Jesus Christ could offer. And don't be content with the things of the world. There's so much greater Christ has in store for you. Christ has for you. And it may be a struggle, but as I would say, living for Christ is a struggle, but it is a struggle worth having. So I pray that this is going to bless you very well in your days today, and I look forward to the next time, and I'll pray us on out. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being able to give us this time. Please let this message I got preached out for today to be able to be not something that we just merely hear, but something that allows us to really, really see that you provide us the best quality of life that we could ever even ask for. Let us not be content in our sins, but let us be able to seek after your righteousness and goodness. And we thank you for everything you provide us today and this food today as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.